Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. This is a replacement video, and it is so I'm recording at 6:21 a.m. and that is on July 12th. Excuse me, July 13th. But this is a video for July 12th. Well, when we look at what's going on in China, the upper dynamic that we saw yesterday is the confirmation that we have at least a low of near-term significance. And when we look at the fact that the market had accelerated, therefore that's a trend-ending characteristic. It was rather climactic, at least in the short term. And then you have the real potential that we're in for a reversionary rally. Now, a lot of the media are talking about China in terms of trade wars, and certainly trade wars are something that we need to pay attention to, but I don't believe that that is the most pressing reason for why China has pulled back in this fashion. I think the much more pressing issue is the contraction of the shadow banking sector that has been imposed upon it, that the Chinese administration have decided to take some short-term pain in order to achieve their long-term goals. Well, there's no denying that China's long-term goal is global domination, and how do they get there from here? Well, they're going to need to develop their financial sector, and we know that the financial sector is prone to bubbly activity. And we well, the most recent obvious example of that was in 2015 in the stock market. Well, the Chinese have been leaning very heavily on the non-bank lending sector, and this is beginning to bear fruits because it has almost disappeared. So they do have the potential to eventually now say, well, job done, and to take their heel off the neck of the financial sector. Well, banks represent a significant weighting in the A-shares index. And the big question then is, when are we going to get some support coming in for the banking sector? The banks are also equally oversold, and they are in an area of potential support around the lows that we've seen in 2016, but and indeed in 17. But the reality is that despite the fact that we have a short-term oversold condition and there is potential for a mean reversion, this represents some pretty acute technical deterioration. And with that kind of technical deterioration, then this is a downward trending chart. This is not looking even remotely consistent. It confirms that China deserves an additional risk premium, and that when one is investing, that this is a more risky environment overall. Then when we look at what's going on with the currency, well, the Chinese renminbi had firmed yesterday from the 6.7 area, and it gave it up in here today. They don't want a strong currency, and I think that's one of the most important tools that China has to combat a trade war scenario. So if we really want to see what the effect of trade war rhetoric is, and indeed actions, is on China, then it's the renminbi is the clear arbiter in that regard, and they do want a weaker currency. So when we look at that on a weekly basis, this has been a storming rally by the US dollar, and it is getting no resistance whatsoever from China. They don't want to see it going down in consecutive days, but neither do they want it strengthening very much. So I think that is the most likely scenario, that the clearest tool that China has for anti-trade wars is its currency. Now, because the renminbi has been pulling back so aggressively, then when we think about what's going on in the Asia currencies, well, the Asia dollar index is accelerating lower. It paused somewhat yesterday, but this remains a weak chart. When we look at some of the weaker currencies, they've been in pretty consistent downtrends against the US dollar now for years, and the Philippine peso is a good example of that. The US dollar is in fact a little bit overbought now, but there's very little sign that its advance is over. And a clear break in what has been a very consistent trend would be required to question that development. If the Chinese are in a trade war with the US, well, India has the potential to benefit from that. And the Indian rupee is right in the region of its lows. Now, that it's probably going to require some additional action by the RBI to try and support it. Now, we also know that Modi is going to be going has an election coming up in India, and Modi is a pro-markets populist, but I think there's a strong likelihood he's going to try and buy the election, and we've already seen some measures pointing towards that development when we look at the prices that are being set for agricultural commodities in the country. So that could put pressure on the currency. But in the meantime, if we look at the Nifty, well, and the Nifty is the index that I primarily look at. It has been firming from the region of the trend mean and is approaching its high. But the Sensex index, which is the older one and is more concentrated, broke out yesterday. We have now the Indian market breaking on to new high ground, and there's a comparatively small number of markets that are in fact doing that. Certainly when we look at the Nasdaq 100, that is also breaking on to new high ground. And this is, I think, rather important that it had broken out to new highs, then it came back to test the 7,000 area. Well, 7,000 had been an area of resistance previously, and it acted as an area of support on this occasion. So that's, I think, rather important. Then when we look at the Russell 2000, it's also got this pattern of outperformance that it had ranged below 1600 and then it broke out in pretty emphatic fashion. The other market that is noteworthy that has broken out is at the TSX in Canada. So you've got the Canadian market now breaking out on the upside, and when we look at that on a much longer term basis, that it has been ranged below mostly 15,000 for a good long time, and then broke above it and has been consolidating above that level now for a while before now breaking higher. So that's also worth. And I was looking through charts yesterday, and the ASX 200 tends to be what we focus on, but the All Ordinaries in Australia has also broken on the upside here. So when we think about these moves, they're I think rather important from the medium term perspective, that when we think about what is leading on the upside, then it's going to be the kind of well, it's in on the one hand, it's going to be technology, the technology sector, particularly the software oriented part of that sector, doesn't have a great deal of business with China. When we think about Amazon or indeed Google or Facebook, they've been trying to get in on China and have been rebuffed. So that's part of the reason why they're exhibiting such relative strength. Then you have the Russell 2000, which is a medium or a small cap index that doesn't particularly have a great deal of business with China, and it's also doing well. And then you have the Australian market, which is benefiting from the weakness of the currency, and also from the fact that the banking sector had been really very weak. And when we think about the extent to which the banks had pulled back, then I think investors are beginning to look on them afresh because the yield has improved so impressively over the course of this downtrend that lasted almost 18 months. So now the Australian financials are right in the region of the trend mean. And the Canadian financials are right in the region of their respective trend mean. and Canada is starting to raise interest rates. But also, it may be raising interest rates, but the dollar is on another upward trajectory against the loonie. And when we look at this on a longer term horizon, well, the dollar has recouped about half of that big decline between 2000 and 2007, but it looks like it's going to do better than that. So when we think about what's going on in the stock markets, there's some rationale for outperformance. Well, then if we look at what's going on in the European markets, well, the Euro stocks looks pretty similar to the DAX, and the DAX and the Euro stocks have been ranging now for over a year, and right now they're bouncing from the lower side of that range. When we look at the Europe stocks, that's including the UK and Switzerland, then it's been ranging below 400 for much of the last 18 years. And if it can sustain a move above 400, well, we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The major index in Europe that has broken out is in the UK, and the FTSE 250 mid-caps are continuing to outperform, and they're bouncing today from the region of the trend mean, and this remains a reasonably consistent advance generally. Then, if we look at the commodity complex, oil prices were pretty much unchanged yesterday, and there's not much difference in here today. But the most important thing that has happened is that big downward dynamic that we saw 3 days ago. And that has created a pause in this market, because what it obviously demonstrated was that there were stops that were right at the lower side of that very short-term range, just below $80. And now the question is it going to be able to hold its low? I think the most likely scenario is that we are in a process of mean reversion, and that the likelihood is that the price is going to come back to that trend mean. Then the question is going to be whether it finds support there, because we know that a great deal of additional supply becomes economic at around $80, and part of the reason that the price has been rallying isn't so much. Well, isn't only because of OPEC reducing supply, but it's also because the major producers like Venezuela and Libya had been out of the market, and Libya is coming back onto the market. Now, it's probably going to be a good long while before Venezuela can get its act together. But the reality is that part of the reason also why prices have been firmer is because of bottlenecks in supply that we're getting in Texas. So that is eventually also going to get solved. What we're really thinking about then is that it's not that there's a shortage of oil, it's rather that there is an infrastructure problem, and infrastructure problems tend to get fixed. So that's, I think, something that we need to pay attention to. Then you also have the consideration that China's economy is under pressure, and it's the major, the largest consumer of oil. And elsewhere in the commodity complex, cotton was limit up yesterday, and it's bouncing from the region of the trend mean. And considering that the soft commodities generally have been particularly weak, this is rather individual in terms of its performance, considering that soybeans, for example, has been under really rather severe selling pressure, and is I think very oversold in the short term. We've had a couple of stabs to the upside, but they haven't yet been able to really push this higher. And it's a pretty similar story with corn. And when we look at corn, that's the individual contract. But I'm when I think about the oversold conditions that we have out there, well, people are going to be eating food, and this selling pressure is, I think, going to create a buying opportunity. But the Chinese market, on the other hand, does look more risky. And the commodity most at risk from China is copper, and copper prices have experienced now this massive reaction against the prevailing trend. So this is a type 2 top. And after a type 2 top, the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, you often get a range. So it is only a matter of time before we get a bounce that starts to come through on some of these commodities. And that bounce could be, I think, could be very powerful in nature. But then the question will be the extent to which they can sustain moves back above their trend means. That's going to be an awfully big question when we eventually see some signs of support starting to come through. And then when we look at bonds, the bond market has been particularly inert over the course of the last 2 weeks. And that's against a background where there is some uncertainty about the economy, and not so much the US economy, but the Chinese economy. And that is generally bullish for bonds. But there's an awful lot of additional supply. And that additional supply is the really hard fundamental in the market. And that's likely to act as a headwind to prices rallying much more from here. What would really need to happen is that something meaningful in terms of a change in monetary policy would be required to really, I think, accelerate a rally in prices and a fall in yields. And there's just not a lot of evidence for that right now. This continues to look like a mean reversion, and that mean reversion is almost over. So we're getting pretty close to a point, and we'll probably get to it at some point in August when the reversion to the mean has been completed. It's at that point then that we have the potential for some additional weakness in the yield. The one counter argument to all of that is that hedge fund positions are massively short of bonds right now. I think it's one of the largest short positions anywhere. Now, that might be considered that they're taking an outright bet on higher yields, or it might be that they're using it as a hedge against an equity position. But nonetheless, if we were to see the yield coming through the 200-day moving average, then it could move in a short, sharp fashion because people are so short of the Treasury futures. And I think that's an important consideration. So, because this market has been relatively inert, then people, I think, have tended to forget about it a little bit. But the reality is that it has the potential to increase in volatility, not least as we unwind this oversold condition relative to the trend mean. And I think I'll leave it with that, and I'll apologize once again. I've absolutely no idea how the default microphone changed on my system, but it did, and I apologize for the inconvenience.